Central bankers are panicking, and in today's show, you'll learn that when central bankers panic, why you should too. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as we take a look at the major issues facing central bankers, and you can see they're getting nervous, they're starting to worry, there are even signs of panic going on as they look at what's going on in the global economy because they face two major issues, and these issues will have a major impact on your portfolio. They're facing inflation, and on top of that, slowing growth. Now, you might say, hey, Steve, I've listened to the central bankers, and they're not talking about slowing growth. And they never will until it's too late. And so let's pick this story up because I want you to understand why they're getting worried, and when they worry, why you should too. Inflation is near a 40-year high. And here's what it looks like. Price increases in fuel, cars, apparel, and medical care very widely. Now, we already know that, but look at this. Here's a headline from Wall Street Journal. Central banks around the world raise rates as Fed prepares move. And that's a big issue of what's going on here as the reaction of what other central banks are going to do. And I want you to understand how this is not a good idea, but it's going to happen anyways. A number of developing economies raised interest rates again this week to tame inflation, but Asia has other worries. Central banks across swaths of the globe are continuing to raise interest rates in an effort to tame inflation, largely dismissing for now the threat to economic growth posed by the spread of highly infectious Omicron variant. And here you can see what is the issue. So why is this such a problem for central bankers? Because, you know, their whole spiel is that they can kind of dial inflation in right where they want it. And remember, Fed had a target of 2%. And boy, we've left that in the dust as we're over 6 now. But why is high inflation such an issue for central bankers? Well, let's take a look at the consumer price index on a year-over-year rate of change. And what you can see is generally every time it gets up there, except here back in the early 50s, what usually follows is a recession. And that's that gray shaded area. It's almost unavoidable, particularly in modern times. So what we're going to see is a high probability that a recession is on the way. And they've got to navigate around this and convince people there isn't one, because the issue comes down to the stock markets. But let's keep going on with the story, because while a lengthening list of central banks have or are poised to raise interest rates, central bank meetings this week underscored big differences in the perceived threat that inflation poses when set against the need to support fragile economic recoveries. Aha, see the Wall Street Journal, they've got this right. A number of central banks in Eastern Europe and Latin America raised their key interest rates, but their counterparts in Southeast Asia left theirs unchanged. And that may change in 2022 since developing economies usually find it difficult to avoid following the Federal Reserve. Now, this is historically correct, which has signaled it will likely raise its key rate 3 times next year. I'll take the under on that bet. The central banks that leave their policy rates unchanged when the Fed is tightening policy run the risk of big falls in their currency, which stokes inflation by raising import prices. So the real question here is, does the dollar tend to rise when the Fed raises rates and tightens? And if it does, then that makes sense why all of a sudden we're seeing these other central banks from these emerging countries start to raise rates ahead of the Fed. They want to keep up and keep the currency at a point where they can maintain their exports. Well, let's take a look at this chart here. We've got the federal funds rate on the left in blue, the trade-weighted dollar against major currencies in red. Now, and sure enough, there's certainly some evidence, but not a ton of it. Here you can see federal funds rate falling and the dollar rising. Here you can see them falling together, funds rate rising, followed by the dollar. Now they get a little bit more in sync. They seem to be holding out here pretty good. Dollar's rising, funds rate kind of is a little bit. See the dollar continue to rise into a recession, sign of financial tightening going on. And then the funds rate falls, dollar falls. So you kind of get an idea there's some relationship here. It's not a super good one. Nevertheless, there is a concern that if the dollar does rise, well, then they need to get their currencies on the move as well. But what will the Fed do about all of this? Well, Here's what Fed Williams says the Fed is preparing for higher rates in 2022. This hitting from Bloomberg, the Federal Reserve's decision to pivot toward a more aggressive inflation fighting stance this week helps position the central bank to begin raising interest rates next year. So yes, they're signaling, the Fed is telling all these other central banks, according to New York Fed President John Williams, that hey, if you want to keep up, better start raising rates. It's really about getting our monetary policy stance in good position and also obviously creating the optionality at some point next year, likely to actually start raising the federal funds target range, he said last Friday. And that is the key here, is the Fed is doing everything they can to signal that. But what is the problem when the Fed actually raises rates or tightens policy, or in the, perhaps in the case now, just backs off the gas a little bit? Well, historically, when the Fed gets into a tightening cycle, it ends up in a recession. Now, a lot of people believe this time is we've got several years before that happens, and simply because we're not in a normal economic stage at this point in the game. We are not in the normal expansion. And so what people are looking at and say, hey, the Fed is starting this tightening phase, we've got several years left. And that's why you're seeing some of this risk-taking in the equity market, because people really believe that this time is different in the sense that we're not seeing the supply chain inflation issues, that we're really seeing a precursor to even more growth, and that will take equity prices higher. But I think they've got that whole view rather wrong. Let's continue on with the story. I'm very focused on real interest rates. And anytime you see real in front of something, it means inflation-adjusted interest rates, which means not just looking at what the nominal mean non-inflation adjusted federal funds rate is, but actually adjusted for expected inflation. And I think we're going to do that. With expected inflation a little higher in our projections now, especially for next year, clearly that's a factor, he said. We want to make sure that we're adjusting policy and somewhat removing accommodation going forward. And that's exactly what they're doing. And here we have a chart that I put together, the federal funds rate less inflation, the consumer price index on a year-over-year rate of change. And this is fantastic because when you see negative real rates, negative inflation-adjusted rates as we see now, it usually means we're heading into a recession. I mean, you can see it here going in the great financial crisis. It was bad news. You can see the dot-com bubble. You can see collapses, and this usually signal that we're headed into a recession. And I'm trying not to laugh a little bit here because, you know, they're acting as if they've got this all under control. And really what they're going to do is they're going to take the foot off the gas at the wrong time. But what's notable to me is when Powell gave his press conference, you know, in the past when we've seen a taper or a balance sheet runoff, a Fed chair will say, look, this is our schedule. So we're going to, you know, taper this many months and then we're going to drop to another level. And then we're going to go to another level after so many months. This time he was very clear. We're going to adjust in mid-January, and then we have two more meetings. He didn't say that we would continue at the January meet at the February meeting to or the sorry the January meeting to lower it again. He said we will review that. So he's not convinced he's going to actually end the taper, but he's telling everyone he is. So he's saying, look, we're prepared to do this at the time that we're not putting it on autopilot because we have two meetings, and maybe if things change, we're going to change. And it's that panic from Powell that I want you to understand, because he's sending you a clear message. He doesn't think this is going to work. And that's why you see headlines like this from the Wall Street Journal. The Fed's Williams doesn't see the benefit of further speeding up beyond bond buying taper. So New York Fed President refrained from commenting on when central bank may start raising interest rate target. Yeah, of course, because they think the economy is going to roll over. And Mr. Williams rejected the idea that a monetary policy campaign aimed at reining in inflation would send the economy into recession, as some have said is likely. And speaking of some who have said that's likely, I will raise my hand on that and say, yes, I'm in that camp. And when you see what happens, why you should be in that camp too, and that's again where this panic is coming from, is because the Fed is likely to trigger another recession. And it seems almost hard to believe that they're going to do this by just letting off the gas a little bit. But hang tight, we'll get to that in a moment. I think that monetary policy over the past quarter century or even longer has shown that we can accomplish and deliver, you know, stable, low inflation over time without forcing the economy to contract, Mr. Williams said. Look, I don't think that that's true at all, but let's keep going and see what else he's got to say. Mr. Williams also flagged some concern about financial markets generally. Quote, I do think asset values overall, I'm not talking about specific type of assets, yeah, because he doesn't want to scare the markets. But overall, when you look at equity markets, bond markets, he's not referring to treasuries, he's referring to junk bonds, housing markets, they do seem very high relative to historical norms. Well, yes, they are, Mr. Williams. That's something I see as a risk on the horizon. It has been for some time, he said, while adding, quote, I don't see as a financial stability risk so much. Look, so let's just put it this way. If you're worried about financial stability, check out Portfolio Shield. You'll totally be worth your time, because when central banks panic, what you shouldn't be doing is panicking about your portfolio, and Portfolio Shield will help you avoid panic. Now, let's keep going with the story, because we head over to Bloomberg and we see now we're going to see these other central banks react. The Bank of England says more persistent inflation prompted surprise rate hikes. So here we go. The remarks represent a shift in tone for the UK central bank, which previously said most pressure on prices were temporary or transitory and likely to pass in the next few months. Of course, that's what the Fed said. Now, Bailey expects the consumer price index to top 6% in the coming months, triple the BOE's target. Boy, they were way off. Becoming the first major central bank to hike its benchmark since the pandemic started, the BOE raised borrowing costs by 15 basis points to 0.25%. No other group of seven central banks has made such a move since the beginning of the crisis. And then you see what is, and I want you to understand, you're already seeing signs of stress in the monetary system. And you know, when I talk about the dollar shortage, you know, people just roll their eyes and say, look, there's no signs of it. Well, there are signs, and this is where the stress is coming from. And what's notable is the Fed is chasing supply chain inflation. They're not chasing, you know, monetary inflation from money printing. And we're seeing this stress had Turkey. Check this out. The Turkish lira falls to record low as rate cut jitters build. This is a dollar issue. The Turkish lira tumbled to another record low as traders braced for the central bank to press on with an easing cycle that's fanned inflation. Now, again, this is part of the story is there's a global dollar shortage. So they're printing money to try to get dollars. That has fanned inflation and undermined the currency. The lira dropped as much as 3.1%, falling past the psychologically important 15. There you go, 15 per dollar mark for the first time. And then the currency paired some of that in early trade. That's not the issue. And even the White House is panicking. Biden's team braces for child tax credit to lapse. It may double the February payment. So they're already putting out the word. And because why? Stocks decline. This was from this morning. Amid interest rate worries, the Dow drops while NASDAQ pairs losses, crude oil prices fall. This is what everybody's afraid of, is the equity markets going down because the central banks are not in a position to answer. You have a problem. You've got inflation on one side, financial assets on the other. Which one are you going to fight? Well, you know, a central bank, your mandate, it's not financial markets. Let's keep going with this. Stocks fell in volatile trading on Friday as investors assessed the potential impact of policy shifts by the world's largest central banks on inflation and growth. The underlying primary fear in the market is inflation, he said. What the Fed did is the old saying, to solve a problem, you have to first acknowledge there is one. It's a wise move, but temporary respite for the market's concerns over inflation. Even the Bank of Japan said on Friday today it would wind down its holdings of commercial paper and corporate bonds, but kept monetary policy ultra loose. Well, that's just the Japanese way of things. And the benchmark Nikkei index fell. And what this is coming into is the growth story. Because, you know, if we were seeing, you know, continuing global growth where a growing economy is creating money through lending and other things, then that would tell us that, hey, the central banks are making a smart move. And that's why this comes back to this panic, is because they're making the wrong moves. And I want to show you in these preliminary manufacturing PMI or purchasing managers index why there's such a problem. Now, keep in mind, as we look at these, a 50 means unchanged. So there's no change in growth from the prior month. above 50 is an increase in change, a growth. Below 50 is a contraction. Again, these are preliminary numbers from market, M-A-R-K-I-T. Looking at Japan, manufacturing PMI clocked in at the same growth rate. So we're starting to see a potential peak. But look at services, for almost back to unchanged at 51.1. So we're seeing services growth slowing. How about the Eurozone? We'll go to the broad Eurozone. The manufacturing PMI at 58 before the previous month. Peaking. How about the services? Went from 55.9 to 53.3. So growth is slowing. That's how you read this. How about Great Britain, where they're hiking rates? Manufacturing PMI 58.1 to 57.6. So growth is slowing a little bit, but it's pretty close to on trend from where it was. How about the services sector? 58.5 to 53. Now, normally you see the services sector lag the change in the manufacturing sector. How about the U.S.? Probably the cleanest shirt in the laundry basket. Look at the manufacturing preliminary numbers for December, 58.3 last month, 57.8 for pretty much growth at the same rate. How about the services sector holding the same rate? So again, the U.S. standing out here. But what does it mean when these PMIs start to head lower? And you see here, this is from market, the U.S. PMI versus U.S. GDP. As they slow, growth slows, and that's a problem because, again, these central banks have to choose between, are they going to fight inflation or are they going to potentially risk blowing in a bigger inflation bubble that will inevitably pop, or do they fight inflation and crash everything? But this growth story doesn't end there. Take a look at the U.S. data from today. We have capacity utilization for almost unchanged at 76.8. We'll look at that deeper in a moment. But look at industrial production. Now, in a normal month, a 0.5 increase was great. But from 1.7 the month before, again, you see growth is slowing. How about manufacturing production? 0.7? Great number otherwise, coming down from 1.4. Again, growth is slowing. Looking at capacity utilization, this is the percentage of factory capacity that is being utilized to produce goods. Where this peaks is sort of the end of the story, and we're starting to see signs here that the capacity utilization is starting to get maxed out, as those manufacturing PMIs are suggesting the growth is peaking out. And here we have the Philly Fed, which is giving us the December data. So remember, those, that market data is preliminary. And what's cool about the Fed regional surveys is it gets us a little closer to now. And the Philly Fed is really interesting because it's showing you that growth is really slowing. And see, the Fed knows this because this is the Philly Fed data. All right, so check this out. The way you read this, diffusion index represent an increase minus the percentage increase indicating a decrease. So this is the net number. What is your evaluation of the level of general business activity? Went from last month, 39% of firms growing, now down to 15% showing business activity increasing. How about new orders? Everyone makes a big deal of this. Last month, 47% of firms said they were seeing new orders, now 13. Shipments, this is stuff going out the door. 32% of firms last month, 15% of firms increase in shipments. Unfilled orders, this is where you get inflation from. 27% of firms last month, now down to 11. Delivery times, 30, unchanged almost at 31. How about inventories? Unchanged at 13. Prices paid, 80% of firms reporting to increase last month, now down to 66. So you're seeing the pricing pressure start to wane. Prices received, 62% of firms last month noted, almost 63, passed on those higher prices. And this month, now only 50%. The only good news is the number of employees, 27% of firms showed an increase, now up to 34. But the average work week was virtually unchanged. And that, my friends, is why you saw today the market, the S&P 500 closing down a little over 1%, the NASDAQ closing down in a volatile session, the Dow closing lower, and only the small caps, the Russell 2000, hanging tight, because the equity markets, when you start to see them get volatile, and particularly you look at the bond market, which has already figured this out. See, back in March, it knew all this was happening. It started to say, hey, growth and inflation expectations are slowing. Nobody's believing it yet, but at some point they will. And now you start to understand why the central bankers are panicking, because when markets start getting volatile and they start tightening up things a little bit, and even easing a little bit, even though they're still easing, it's still creating a small amount of tightening, can certainly pop that equity bubble. And that's their concern, because they've got no latitude to save it. Anyways, I'm Steve Van Meter. Thanks for watching. For those of you who watch the Sunday show, we'll see you back on Sunday. For those of you who don't, I'll see you back on Monday. By now, the content of this video provides educational information only and not intended to provide investor or advice. It is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by selling security financial instrument or participate in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video that I do not reflect the value of Finance Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.